Welcome to Win Tucson, and I'm excited for today's show. I've got law enforcement people on, and they're some of my favorite people on the planet. They do an unthinkable job at the most difficult time that I've ever seen law enforcement having to do their job. And I think it's important that there's a lot of changes going on, and we're going to have probably new sheriffs in at least three or four of the counties here in the state of Arizona. And one of those people that's running for Pinal County Sheriff is, I think he's the only one running to replace Mark Lamb, is Ross Teeble. Ross, welcome to Win Tucson.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh. Yep, you're there. Are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, welcome. So you currently work at the Pinal County Sheriff's Office, do you not?
Yes, ma'am. I'm one of Mark Lamb's lieutenants.
Is that that's a good distinction to have, right? To be one of Mark's lieutenants?
Yeah, he's a great boss and an even better sheriff.
Yes, he is. He is. And he's thrown his hat in the ring. We're going to be talking to him right after this for Arizona U.S. Senator. So, but Pinal County, you have the jail there. You have, how long have you worked for Pinal County Sheriff's Office?
I started with the Sheriff's Office in 2007, so I'm going on 16, almost 17 years with the Sheriff's Office. Before that, I worked 12 years in the Arizona Department of Corrections as a corrections officer.
Oh, wow. And so it's actually, you're kind of perfectly suited for this. As a lieutenant, what is your current accountability? What are you responsible for in the Pinal County Sheriff's Office?
I'm currently the Special Projects Lieutenant. I tell people, think of that big redneck Woodstock we have in Florence called Country Thunder, or parades, or community relations events. I'm in charge of all of that. Previously, I was the Aviation and Search and Rescue Lieutenant.
And so if you look at all your collective experience, everything that you've done in all your years in law enforcement, why do you think that sheriff is the next best step for you?
I think it's the next best step because Pinal County did a really good job of navigating the pandemic and protecting people's individual rights. And we also are really good about being proactive and engaging in public engagement. And I don't want the sheriff's office to go into the wrong hands, and so we lose all the progress that we've made in the last 7 years.
Your sheriff, your boss, Mark Lamb, has been a very conservative, constitutional sheriff. Can the people of Pinal County count on you to be the same?
They can absolutely count on me to be the same. I'm a young man, well, at least I feel young at heart. I'm 54 years old.
You're a young man.
No,
go ahead. That's great.
I was going to say, I'm 54 years old, but one of the things that makes me kind of old and sad is when someone refers to a sheriff as being sometimes controversial because they believe in the Constitution. I served 4 years honorably in the United States Navy. I joined the Navy in 1989. I served during Desert Storm on a submarine, and I swore an oath to the Constitution then when I joined the Navy. I swore an oath to the Constitution when I joined the Department of Corrections, and I swore an oath not only when I signed up for the Sheriff's Office and I was fortunate enough to be offered the position of deputy, but also in 2014 when I promoted to sergeant and when I was promoted to lieutenant, and I will uphold the Constitution.
Well, I think that that's probably the greatest thing you could have said, because we need constitutional sheriffs, and knowing that we're losing a constitutional sheriff, but being replaced by a constitutional sheriff is critical, especially for the people in Pinal County. You're not right on the border, but you get a lot of the border traffic, do you not, in your county?
Yes, ma'am. One of the things that people don't realize if they're not from this area is the Tohono O'odham Nation crosses the international border, and it ends just south of Interstate 8. So realistically, the international border starts just below Interstate 8. The peace officers on the Tohono O'odham Reservation are overworked, they're understaffed, and they're trying to do the best they possibly can, but that is just a sieve. With this open border policy of our current president, it's just overwhelming the number of people that we're having come into this country.
People ask me all the time, can our sheriffs do something despite the current political climate that we have? So let's just fast forward. You're the sheriff. What would you do with these same circumstances that we have now? What can you do?
One of the most important things that we do and we need to continue to do is to keep putting effort and force on the individuals that are smuggling through this. Many people refer to Pinal County as a pass-through county. That's kind of a compliment, a backhanded compliment, because what that says is the coyotes and the human smugglers and the drug smugglers, when they come into the United States, they don't want to stay in Pinal County because, for lack of a better word, they know the heat is on. So one of the best things a sheriff can do is make sure, without a doubt, that your individual rights are protected, but also make sure that we don't become, for lack of a better word, a sanctuary county, where we allow these bad actors to continue to operate in our county.
Well, and Ken Folkmer is your county attorney there, and the relationship between the sheriff's office and the county attorney's office is I would say, one of the strongest ones. Cochise County has a good relationship where you prosecute the criminals. So I believe Kent is running for re-election also, right?
Yes, ma'am, he is. And he's an outstanding attorney.
So I think then, so that relation, because people worry about these relationships, right? Like, unfortunately, in Pima County, we have a county attorney in name only. She doesn't prosecute anybody, and it's dangerous. So you need not only to do your piece, which is law enforcement and arresting, but you need the prosecution piece. And so it makes Pinal County a pretty safe county in the state of Arizona. And it sounds like that's your commitment to keep it that way and to make it even better.
Yes, ma'am. You're three times more likely to be a victim of a violent crime in Pima County than you are in Pinal County, and you're five times more likely to be a victim of a violent crime in Maricopa County. That's just one basic overall statistic that I can give you. One of the best things, the best examples I can give of about a strong county attorney charging appropriately is, in the state of Arizona, we are very harsh against child pornographers, as we should be. I wish the rest of the world was. But in Arizona, if you have one image of child porn, it is a minimum sentence. You have a minimum prison sentence. Well, what Kent Volkmer did is we charge for each individual image on a video, because as we know, when you film video, it's 27 frames per second, it's 30 frames per second. So instead of charging for a 3-minute video, we charge for each individual frame, and we put these worst of the worst in prison for the rest of their lives, where they need to be, because we need to protect our children, because they are our future.
We absolutely need to protect our children, and I think that there's been a lot of work done. I've done a lot of work with your current sheriff, on anti-trafficking, on fighting sexual exploitation, on these very things, and with Ken Folkmer. So if you're going to continue those efforts, I can't vote in Pinal County, but you certainly have our support. So people want to find you, Ross. Where do they find you so they can support, sign your petition, donate to your campaign? Where should we send people to learn more about you?
Well, I sure appreciate that. My website is teeple4sheriff.com. It's the number 4. Or you can just type in rossteeple.com. Remember, it's Teeple for the People. That's an easy way to remember my name. I'm on Instagram also as Teeple4Sheriff.
And it's T-E-E-P-L-E, though, in case you're, just so people know. So T-E-E-P-L-E. Yeah, Teeple for the People. And people spelled correctly.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, and Ross, anything else you want to add before we go to break?
No, I just really appreciate this time. And a lot of people ask me when I'm running if I'm pro-Second Amendment. I'm pro all of your rights, individual rights. All of them are equally as important, to include the Peace Officer Bill of Rights in the state of Arizona, because we need to protect our employees.
Absolutely, 100%. Well, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We're going to bring on your boss when we get back on the other side of this break. And thank you, Ross Teeple, candidate for Pinal County Sheriff's Office. I'm Kathleen Wynn. This is Wynn Tucson on 1030 The Voice, your trusted local news and talk. When we come back, Sheriff Mark Lamb. It's Pinal County Day. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson. And now we're going to shift to the guy that currently has the job in Pinal County, Sheriff Mark Lamb. Mark, welcome to Wynn Tucson.
Thank you so much for having me on, Kathleen. I appreciate it.
So Ross looks like a good candidate. I think you did. If you helped pick in who's replacing you, I'm impressed. So constitutionalist, obviously, and understands the rule of law and understands enforcing it, understands that he has to have a good relationship with your county attorney. So, you know, checked all my boxes. I hope the people in Pinal County realize that if we can't have you, then we need to have the next best thing. And Ross seems to be the guy. So.
Well, I appreciate that, and Ross will be amazing. Ross is a great man, very constitutional, very cognizant of the people's rights and what being a sheriff is, which is protecting, you know, our communities from the bad guys, and frankly, from protecting it from government overreach as well. And Ross gets all that, and so we felt it was just almost even divine intervention when we just all felt like, hey, this is the guy. Thank goodness he accepted. And, you know, he's been putting in the work, and I think that he will be a great sheriff for a long time to come. And I'm anxious because, you know, I'm looking forward to it because I live in Pinal County, too. So even if,
yes.
You know, as being a senator, I still need a great sheriff. So,
and I love it. And before we take you to that, I just want to do I just got this text, week in review. 14,300 apprehensions, 300 pounds of fentanyl, 183 federal criminal cases, 33 rescues, 15 human smuggling events, 7 narcotic events, 2 firearm seizures. That seems low on the firearms, but what do I know? And that was just the last week in Pima County, not your county. But the good news is that we get it in Pima County, it doesn't get to your county. But 14,300 illegal border crossings in the Tucson sector in 1 week. That is 1 week statistic. Is that sustainable?
Yeah. No, it's not sustainable. We long past sustainable.
It's way in the rearview mirror.
Unsustainable.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are being just flat out overrun. We're being invaded, which is exactly, you know, the definition of an invasion is an incursion of a large group of people into a sphere or place of activity, or an unwanted intrusion into one's domain. And, you know, both of those definitions qualify. And the numbers, the numbers say that this is an invasion. The first, the Border Patrol starts their statistics on October 1st. And between October 1st and November 10th, we were at 66,000 apprehensions already in the Tucson sector, which is more than they had in the entire year in 17, 18, 19, and 20. So, and then they had also a 700% increase in fentanyl seizures. And they're not even out there aggressively looking for it because they're so busy processing people. So, yeah, this is an unsustainable problem.
And so as you have your sheriff's hat on, you're running for Senate, does that what you know now positively impact your run for Senate? Because you know all this. How do you bring what you've learned as a sheriff to the Senate race and convince people that you are the best person to be the next U.S. Senator from Arizona?
Well, look, I've been all over the state, and what Arizonans want is a proven conservative fighter. They want just a real person to go back and do this, somebody that actually knows what the job is. I'm not some lawyer. I'm not some rich elitist. I am a common man who understands the problems we're facing in this country, which are border security, crime, the economy. I'm basically a paycheck to paycheck guy too. And so I understand what the effect the economy has. I'm not so wealthy that I'm far removed from that. And I also understand national security. I don't think you're going to find a candidate. I know you're not going to find a candidate that brings more experience to those issues than what I do. And I think that the people of Arizona are seeing it more and more day by day. We don't have time for this. Look, I always say, if you take your car to a mechanic, do you want a mechanic with 10 years experience or 20 years experience? Or do you want one that's never actually even done it, but telling you how good they'll be at it?
That's a very fair statement, and I like it. So, Mark, there, you know, it's you and Carrie Lake. Neither of you are strangers, and you know, and I would say, and I'm assuming you're still friends, even though you're running against each other. But you make a really good point. We have to put it looks like Kyrsten Sinema is going to get in the race, and we have to put up the best person that can beat Ruben Gallego and Kyrsten Sinema. Can you say in that race, you win the primary, how do you win that matchup? How do you beat them?
Well, I think the focus should not be on how do you beat them. I think the focus is on how do you gain the vote of the people.
Great.
Like, that's really what the job is. It's not trying to beat another candidate. The job is earning the vote of the people. That's yes. where so many politicians have fallen short and gone down the wrong path, because they're too busy focused on the people that they're theoretically running against, as opposed to actually just going out and earning the vote of the people of Arizona. I am focused on earning the vote of the people of Arizona. And if I'm lucky enough to be chosen, then I will represent them well, and I will protect God, family, freedom, the Constitution. That is what I would be focused on. I've proven that, you know, look, I have the courage and the things that are not right when I think it violates people's rights.
Yes.
And that's what I'm focused on. And I think we have a strong path to victory. And as far as, you know, candidates, you know, on the Republican side, we have good favorable and unfavorable statistics. So we just feel really good. We love where we're at in the race, and looking forward to actually taking this over, you know, getting it to the next step.
So, Mark, a lot of issues facing, not just the border, but we have international problems. How do you feel poised to deal with the effects of Russia, China, North Korea? Because I think I agree with you that there's no one probably better to handle the border situation than you, out of anybody that's running. And so, but what about foreign influence on what's happening? Are they related? Are they not?
Absolutely. Look, first of all, the border is, you know, when you don't secure your border, it sends a message of weakness to the rest of the world. They say, look, these guys can't even secure their own southern border. How are they going to stop us from invading Russia or invading Ukraine or invading Israel or any of those other things? We have, and what we deal with here with border stuff is basically national security, because we have people coming from all over the world. And our greatest threat that's presented to us as Americans right now is happening on our southern border. That is our greatest threat. So we've got a lot of issues that we've got to take care of. And everything's a micro and macro level. You know, as a sheriff, I am expected to provide security, national security for my county. And all you do is you take a lot of those same principles and you roll it out on a macro level as well. And and many of those things apply. So once again, I mean, you're not going to find any candidate that's got more experience dealing with national security and gaining peace through strength.
Absolutely. And we are, I totally agree that we have to be strong. Peace through strength is it doesn't mean you go and you pound on people and then say how strong we are. By demonstrating your strength, and we are not. We are demonstrating our weakness every day. As you look back, because this is going to be your last year in office as the Pinal County Sheriff, greatest accomplishments and any regrets that you have?
No regrets. I mean, look, obviously, I try to give every ounce of effort I can. My greatest accomplishments, probably my youth redirection program. We put a program together that keeps youth from getting into the judicial system. And that program, we've had over 200 kids go through the program with less than five reoffending. We also have our veterans program, where we take veterans inside the jail and we treat them the way they should be treated because they served our country. We have continued to reduce our crime index in Pinal County, while other places across this country have been rising in crime. We have managed to get our budget under control and stay within our budget. We have a budget of over $60 million, all the while getting our people raises. I mean, honestly, the list goes on and on of things that I think we've done very well and that I'm very proud of. And I guess maybe the regret would be I wish I had more time in the day to do more. I mean, I love to work. I love this job, and I've expended a lot of effort on it.
Well, Mark, thank you for that. And if you know how to balance a budget and do that, I think Congress and the Senate could use you right now.
I think so, too. That's why I'm running. Please go see me at SheriffLamforSenate.com, SheriffLamforSenate.com.
We will. And thank you so much, and happy Thanksgiving, sir.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
All right. When we get back, we're talking to NFIB, what business needs to know before we head into Thanksgiving holiday. Stay with me, Kathleen Wynn. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson on this Tuesday, where Matt gave us extra great weather. So thank you. And we are going to shift gears and go towards business. And we should know that business is affected by all this illegal immigration. Although that's what we've been talking about the first half in law enforcement, small business in Arizona needs our help. And so I've invited on Chad from Hendricks from, I was getting there, from NFIB. So Chad, welcome to Wynn Tucson. It's great to have you back.
Great to be back, Kathleen. Thanks for having me today.
So right now, we are ahead of the holiday shopping starts, right? The day after Thanksgiving and the Saturday after Thanksgiving. And Saturday is actually Small Business Saturday. So let my listeners know what that means to NFIB.
Sure. So, Kathleen, the first thing I would encourage all of your listeners to do is actually be intentional when you're shopping this holiday season. And do your best to shop small. Shop at the small businesses within your community, and especially on Small Business Saturday, which is this Saturday, November 25th.
And so how is the economy right now for small business? Are we seeing the effects of inflation? Are people not spending what they have been, or are people starting to spend?
Yes. So optimism, if we're looking at small business owners and their optimism into this season, we actually just issued are celebrating the 50th anniversary of NFIB's Small Business Economic Trends Survey. And a lot of times your listeners will hear this called the Jobs Report for Small Business.
Yes.
And so this is a regular survey that we've done since 1973. And we check monthly with small business owners, and yes, optimism among our small business owners is low and has remained low in October, and we continue to struggle with both inflation and labor shortages, which I'm sure most businesses of all types are struggling with in some way.
What do we do to get a workforce? It seems to me that we've never recovered post-COVID when people got paid to stay home. Did people just decide to stop working? We had one of the best employment records in our country leading into that, and it seems like we just haven't been able to get people to go back to work. Am I wrong to see it that way, or does your information show us that?
I don't think you're wrong to see it that way. The limitation we have as small businesses is, we're competing against the large multinational corporations that do have more power to pay more and offer more benefits. So really, our small business owners are trying to attract employees from a similar pool of folks. Yes, like you had mentioned, I think during the pandemic, some folks made the decision to just leave the workforce for whatever reason. Maybe they decided to live off of one income within their household. Maybe they were close to retirement and said, I can live on less and just retire early. So for a variety of reasons, we've seen a reduction in the overall workforce participation rate in the country, and that's impacting our small businesses because we have really, as a small business owner, you have a very limited number of choices that you can take when you're looking at growing your business. You have to pay more first and foremost, and I think that's what our business owners have been telling us, is that to compete in this market, we are paying more and more and offering higher pay to try to find and attract those qualified workers. But it is a significant challenge and has been for the last several years.
So are you seeing more small businesses go out of business, unfortunately?
So that's where this season is really important, especially to our retail businesses. because this is where they actually can kind of go into the black, so to speak, and be profitable in their business is during the holiday season. And so that's why it's so important that we can all, as consumers, just join together and on Saturday make an intention to seek out the small businesses in your community and patronize them. You're going to find that all businesses want to offer quality customer service, but for our small businesses, these are the folks that live and work and raise their families right in your community. You're going to get a higher level of service from them. And the other thing to remember is that when you shop in a small business, studies show 67 cents of every dollar you spend at a small business actually stays in the local community rather than going to a large multinational corporation somewhere.
Exactly, that maybe have political views that we don't agree with. You don't have to respond to that. I'm looking at this, you know, we do have inflation. We do have cost of living. It's hard. And so I think it's important to your point that we do shop locally because we can't afford to lose any more businesses. We have other issues, and I think it's important to know who's in your community and to patronize them. You guys are tracking a 20% small business deduction. Can you can you explain that to our listeners?
Yes, and so many of your listeners, if you're paying a personal income tax, you'll remember that when the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act passed in 2017, it included several rate reductions for individuals. Now, those are going to expire in 2025, but also included in those rate reductions was something called it's technically called a 199A deduction, but we call it the small business deduction.
Okay.
And that allows a small business owner to deduct the first 20% of their income. It basically keeps that out of the calculation for their taxes. So you could imagine that, you know, the ability to have one-fifth of your gross income not taxed is a huge boon for small business. And this was put in place to basically make small businesses to have a similar benefit as the large multinational corporations when they had their rate reduced. So you can see that if this goes away, it is going to be a significant tax increase on our local small businesses. And so we are asking everyone to urge your Congress representatives to extend, make permanent the small business deduction to really put our small businesses in a good permanent position related to their income taxes.
And so if people want to find out more about what you just mentioned here, where can they go?
NFIB.com or just search NFIB small business deduction, and you will find all the materials you need to advocate on behalf of your small businesses. NFIB allows you to communicate directly with lawmakers through our website and advocate on that issue and other issues at the federal and state level.
And you guys conduct these great surveys. I love NFIB. I'm just a huge fan. And NFIB really does do the hard work to lobby. I know some people don't like, but you guys, you do it for the benefit of small business owners. And you are the watchdog to see what Congress is doing. And unfortunately, Congress doesn't always make the best decisions, as we've seen. If I'm a small business and I don't have a relationship with NFIB, what are some of the benefits that I can get?
So one of the key areas of focus for NFIB is our tagline is we are the voice of small business. And one of the ways that we do that is hearing from our members on a regular basis. So the jobs report, as I mentioned, is something that we do monthly. We also do regular research from our members. So if you're an NFIB member, you may be asked on a regular basis for feedback on the conditions that are impacting your business, because we want to act on that. And we act on that information at the state capitol in Phoenix,
yep,
and in Washington, D.C. And so that's a big benefit for small businesses. The other areas that we focus on is we have a separate nonprofit public interest law firm where we actually take key issues at the federal level and in some cases the state level that impact small businesses, and we're working on behalf of small businesses in the court system. And so there's a couple areas there, but then also when it comes to just knowing how to do particular things with your small business, we offer a host of resources on our website and through various webinars to educate our members on how to comply with certain things that may be requirements at the federal level, and just to answer questions and be a resource for each individual small business member.
And to join, it's a really reasonable rate, and you're very fair with people, and for what you pay and what you get from it, what you get from it far exceeds any cost, and it's really a great program. Chad, can I get you to, we're going to have to go to break, can I get you to stay on with me, and then I want to talk about some of the federal things that are coming down right after the first of the year, things that NFIB is fighting for, and I think not only small business owners, but everyone needs to know, because if our goods cost us more, it doesn't help anybody. Do you have a little bit more time?
I do. Sure. Okay. I will stand by.
Thank you, great. That's wonderful. We're talking to Chad Hendricks from NFIB, one of the best advocates for small business. I'm Kathleen Wynn, and this is Wynn Tucson, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice, your trusted local news and talk. Stay with us. We'll be back, and more good information. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson. We're talking to Chad Hendricks from NFIB. We are advocating for all of us to go shopping in our local businesses and patronize those that live in our communities and help everyone be stronger and keep businesses in business, because I know when I drive up and something's been closed down and I didn't know that they were leaving, it's disappointing. And then there's a financial impact in our communities. So, Chad, as we head into 2024, I can't believe I'm saying that, there was a Beneficial Ownership Reporting Act, and it was stuffed into a military bill, I believe, back in 2020. And it has impact now on business. Can you explain to my listeners about that?
Well, this is something, Kathleen, that will impact any business that's basically a pass-through entity. It will be very onerous for small businesses. So what NFIB is doing is we've asked for a delay in the implementation of this. It would require a report be provided to the federal government regarding who might be behind, who may be an owner within your company. And so the problem with that is that the information that they're asking for is not very well defined, and it could be very confusing to small businesses, and come at steep costs if they don't comply. And so it's something that we've asked for a delay in the implementation of that, and right now at this point, it is kind of a deer in the headlights look moving forward.
And deer in the headlights, who's the deer and who's got the headlights?
Is
it the small business owners that's the deer, or is it the Congress that's the deer? Because I could go either way with this, so let me know.
I think the small business owners are the deer. Ownership reporting requirements, they do take effect in January of 2024. Okay. And our estimate is that it'll impact nationally. It'll impact about nearly 33 million small businesses. It basically requires that our small business owners register with an organization of the federal government called the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network.
Is that FinCEN?
So that basically means that if you have 25% or greater stake in a business, you will have to register with a copy of your driver's license and some business information. And so,
and what are they going to do with all this information?
That is part of the concern. what is going to happen with that information? So anyway, what we're asking for is really a delay in implementation on this. We don't believe that FinCEN really understands the burden that they're going to place on small businesses, and we don't think that they are prepared to receive the information, in a streamlined manner at this point. So that's what NFIB is really asking for is a delay.
My understanding is this is for any small business under 20 employees and $5 million or in revenue or less. Correct? Is that who they're and the reason that they're doing this is to stop money laundering, which if it wasn't so serious, it would be comical, because I think that the government is doing more to launder money right now than any small business could ever hope to do. Not that we want anybody to launder money, but how do we as citizens right now contact your congressman, contact your, does the state have anything to do with this at all, or is this all federal? It's all federal, right?
This is a federal issue. It certainly would not hurt to contact your representatives, your Congress representatives, and just to talk to them, express your concerns about this. This is going to request information that most small business owners will hesitate to provide. So, as I mentioned, image of an identification document like your driver's license, your date of birth, current residential address, things like that we're not necessarily used to providing to FinCEN. It's an entirely new reporting requirement. And so, as you had mentioned, 20 or fewer employees and $5 million or less in gross annual receipts, that is practically all of what we would consider a pass-through entity. So if you're organized like a limited liability company, an LLC, a corporation, or basically any type of entity formed under state laws, you will be subject to this.
I agree with you that I don't think the federal government's prepared to take this information. How many small businesses are not aware of this? And if they're not aware of this and they don't comply, if this does go into effect, what are the penalties?
Right off the top of my head, I do not have the penalties in front of me. But yeah, this is a federal requirement. So it's not something that the arm of the state will be enforcing. This is one of those issues where if you know that you should do it, at least you know, but there's a lot of people out there that don't know. And that's why we're really working to educate our members about the upcoming rule and then trying to activate them as well to help us requesting a delay.
And is this information on the NFIB website? So if people wanted to go out, and I've got some really smart listeners, so I like to say that my listeners are the smartest listeners in Tucson, but if they want to find out more information, so they can go to nfib.com, and this is on there?
This is, yes. Basically, if you go to nfib.com and roll your mouse over the tab that's called Advocacy and click on Take Action, you should be able to find resources there. And if you just look at the different national issues that we cover, it's very prominent on the list of issues there.
And this was supposed to be enacted a while ago, Chad, right? So it has been being continued. But has Congress voted on this yet to continue it?
The timeline escapes me actually on exactly when this was enacted. This was actually a federal rule adopted that we of course opposed during the rulemaking process. So yes, it's been at least a couple of years that it's been proposed.
And so it's been delayed, but now So I guess my concern is that January is coming up pretty quickly. We're 5 weeks away. And so come January 1st, 2024, if you don't get Congress to kick the can down the road or delay this, because they're not, the government's not prepared to do what this says that they're required to do, do we have any other options?
Well, like I said, this is really just at this point, we'll have to comply with it if we don't have another, you know, delay in implementation. But I think it's really hard to gauge the scope of the impact, just as we've discussed, due to the fact that many small businesses don't know that it's happening. And so within our membership, and we represent about 300,000 small businesses nationwide. We're trying to make them aware of it, and then trying to also ask our members to, you know, express opposition and hope for further delay in implementation to allow, you know, FinCEN to really come up with an orderly way to collect the information if it does, you know, go into full implementation.
Well, I just don't understand why FinCEN thinks they need this information, and it seems like it's targeting small businesses, and small businesses are the heart of America, and so that part doesn't surprise me. But I'm disappointed to know that it's like 5 weeks away, and that we are not disappointed in NFIB, but just disappointed that we haven't fought back against this in a way that people understand that this is happening and can so negatively impact our small businesses. So I'm going to ask my listeners to call, and we're going to make people smart about this and make sure that we contact our congressman before the January 1st, 2024. I think this is so important to protect our small businesses. And we are almost out of time. So, Chad, I'm going to let you, we have about a minute left, let my listeners know what else they need to know as we head into this holiday season for our small businesses in Arizona.
Well, Kathleen, I appreciate being on your show again, and just would encourage your listeners to pay attention in the upcoming year. We have a legislative session at the state level that will be starting up again in January. And so the lawmakers that you've elected and sent to Phoenix will be working hard on policy, and we will be there representing and advocating for small business. So would appreciate your listeners being engaged in that process. And, of course, don't forget to join NFIB at NFIB.com.
Absolutely. If you're a small business, NFIB is the perfect present for yourself for Christmas. Chad, thanks for being with us. This is Kathleen Wynn, Wynn Tucson. Tomorrow is China Watch Wednesday. We'll be back then. Have a great day.